Thank you, Father. So I'm going to try and move quickly because I've got so much in my heart to share with you this morning. But faith and all those little boys up there, won't you come? I just want you to be a visual aid for me this morning. Faithy, come. And Victoria, where's Victoria? Victoria, I need you. Come. And those boys, are you brave enough to come to the front? Come on. Even one of you? I need you, actually. Thank you so much. Hello. You know what we're talking about this morning is light. And the Lord said to us that we are to arise. I need you. I need you. Please. Oh, I don't want to embarrass you, but... I think you're very brave. What's your name?
Joel.
Joel. Great name. We prophesy that Joel will be a great man of God. His generation. And Faith is a woman full of faith already. Now, I want to show you this old, what's that? Light bulb. Any light coming out of it? No. What do we need to do? Faithy, what do we need to do? Get some batteries. That's a very good idea. That is a brilliant idea. Now, this particular light bulb doesn't take batteries. But what do we need to do with it? That's right. So now, let's pretend that this is a person who doesn't know Jesus, right? So they're walking around in the dark. They can't see anything. It says in the Bible that if they, you know, there's great darkness within them and they can't know the way ahead. So this person doesn't know Jesus, but there's a great God out there who's reaching out for them, and like he's reaching out for all the people out there who don't know him yet, and he's working in their lives. And so what he does, there's God. Joel, won't you plug that in? So this person receives the gospel. They plugged in. Now God's moving. God's moving by his Holy Spirit within them. Then there's something still that has to happen. This has to go in the lamp. And Joel, can you put it in for us, please? Now, this is when we get born again and Jesus Christ comes on the inside of us and we are in Christ, right? It's a bit difficult, isn't it?
That's where we need Paul.
Oh, Antonio. This is a bit tricky. I agree. Are you okay? That's it. Now, so this person's in Christ. Now, where's the light? And I think that's your job, Faith. Can you switch it on? Yay! Now, this is an interesting light bulb because it's an economy one. And it's going to get brighter and brighter. And that's what happens in our lives as we remain plugged in. Into Jesus. The light gets brighter and brighter. So what do you think of that? Will you remember that illustration? Now, you know what? Even as a born-again Christian, it's possible to get out of fellowship with God. And what happens? We're still connected because Jesus will always stay in us. But, can you turn it off again? Uh-oh. No light. And Jesus' instruction to us, his commandment to us today was, arise, shine. Now, how are you going to shine if you're not switched on? And do you know how we get switched on? Do you know how, Joel? How do you think? Very good. Hearing the word, that's fantastic. And Faith, any other way to get switched on? Turn it on. That's right. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Thanks, Joel. You've got fantastic sons. So now there we have this amazing picture of God wanting us to be like the vine, like Les was saying last week, plugged in, connected to the vine. Then there is fruitfulness. And you know, we can't, the activating, the switching on is the activating of the Spirit within us. You know, and that happens through, as Joel said, through the Word and through, come on guys, prayer, fellowship, worship. Now, we're going to work today, right? So will you turn to 2 Corinthians 3? And where's Philippe? He's got a great version of the Bible. Will you come here, Phil, please? So 2 Corinthians 3. I've been spending a lot of time in this book. It's amazing. I don't know if you've read it recently, but go there. There's just so much there. From an interesting scripture, because that's exactly what we were singing this morning. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. And then, so Phil, can you read for us from 2 Corinthians 3:17?
Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, He gives freedom. And all of us have had that veil removed, so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more.
Isn't that amazing? I don't know what your version says, but this is the New Living Translation. It's fantastic.
Now the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, He gives freedom. And all of us have had the veil removed, so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more.
Great. Will you stand in that room? I've been looking at that in lots of different versions of the Bible, but basically our job is not to take our own light out there into the world, but to reflect His light and His glory into the world. And that happens through worship, through spending time in His presence. And you know, as we've been doing that in these houses of prayer, just it's amazing what God's been doing, where we come into His presence without even an agenda, like this last Wednesday, and everybody, Thursday, and everybody waits upon the Lord. And that doesn't mean necessarily praying vigorously in tongues, it's just waiting on the Lord. I'm having to learn that because I come out of Kingdom Faith and we're very vigorous in our praying in tongues. But I've had to learn a new way. Lord, I just want to connect with You. I just want to be quiet and still in Your presence. And I want to hear what You're saying, Holy Spirit. You know, at Bethel, they've been taught to soak in the presence of God. And they just lie on the ground or on a bed, I suppose, anywhere you like, and put on some really worshipful music. And just start to worship the Lord and allow Him to speak and begin to minister to your spirit. Because where we are in the presence of the Lord, where the Spirit is working within us, He's producing greater and greater glory and His presence. Then we're in His presence and He begins to give us revelation. Last week, Luke had an amazing word that in His presence, He reveals to us, like when Moses came into the presence of God, God revealed, He gave him a blueprint, gave him a strategy for the way ahead. And that's what God does as we come into His presence and we're not so busy with our own agenda, but we're actually waiting on Him. He begins to reveal His purposes in our lives. And I'm just so excited with what God's doing because He is bringing us out of a highly active zone into a, not a passive place, but a place of really waiting upon Him, really seeking the Spirit, and then really taking that out. And you know, I have a real hope and trust and faith in my heart that in Isaiah 50, it says, the Lord wakens me morning by morning, and I listen like one being taught, so that He'll give me a word that will sustain the weary. So that when we go out, we're taking a prophetic word straight from the heart of God to the world out there. And can you imagine how that'll impact that guy on the tube who woke up on Monday morning feeling lousy and, you know, Phil next to him just says, morning, good morning. But he gives him a revelation from his heart that's not a religious thing. It's not bashing him over the head with the Bible, but it's releasing what God has for him. Or God spoke to me about you this morning and he just gave me this word for you. Imagine it. I live in expectation of that every day when I go on the tube. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. So now thinking, okay, so how does this process happen of getting transformed into his glory? I don't know what you think, but I think that that's definitely the key, is to come into his presence and to be beholding him in his glory and taking his presence out. Then his word, of course, changes us in the inside, doesn't it? And so his word, the spirit and the word working together in our lives. You know, you guys, I want to encourage you. I know so many of you are really, really busy. But if every day, even if you just eat, before you eat breakfast, just grab one word from this amazing book that you have. You know, and just meditate on that. Just even one verse can change your life if you do that every day. Just take one verse, write it on a card, take it on the tube, on the train with you. Just be meditating on it, chewing. That's what meditation is like, chewing, like the cows chew the cud. It's just going over it and getting it into your spirit, deep in your spirit, so it begins to change you on the inside. Because the word is living, active. It's Jesus is the word. And there's an amazing scripture in James which says that as we, look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. So we think, of course, that freedom is freedom from rules. Let's go crazy. It's the perfect law that gives freedom, the word. Not forgetting what we've heard, but doing it, we will be blessed. And as we submit ourselves to the word of God, he begins to change us on the inside. The word is like a sword, two-edged sword. It comes down deep, deep, deep on the inside to discern, to cut between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And you know, many of us are soulish Christians. I don't know if you can identify with that. I know that there's a lot of soulish flesh in me. You know, every time you react to something, that is not the spirit. When you get angry with your wife or your husband or resentful at somebody or offended by somebody, that is not the Spirit of God within you. That is your flesh. And you know, the only way that the flesh gets sorted in our lives is through the Word of God, because the sword comes, and as we meditate on it, God begins to convict us. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you have to sit down with your pastor and be told, do this and don't do that. But it's the word of God begins to convict us. And then it's not a condemning thing. The word of God is never condemning. It's always convicting. It's a positive pain. It is a pain sometimes, but it's positive. And, but you know, the thing that really the Lord's been speaking to me about so much this week is Matthew 6:22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And you know, that has been challenging me so much. I've been saying to the Lord, you know, what does that mean for me? What does that mean? My eyes are the lamp of my body. I don't want any darkness in my life. Do you know that we knew an amazing man who had been involved in 5 revivals in Argentina? His name was Dr. Papi Miller. And he used to say when he met somebody, he would say to us afterwards, there's a lot of darkness in that person's life. And we'd think, they're fantastic people. There they are, worshiping God, reading their Bible, you know. They're good Christians. But he could perceive in them the darkness in their lives. And I don't know how you feel, but I really want to be squeaky clean before God. I want to be a light shining in the darkness, because this nation needs us to be light shining in the darkness. Now, Pastor Colin's got a great, you know, he's just produced this new translation. And Les is kind of checking it for him and going through it. And his translation of that verse is, your eye gives light to your body. So if your eyes are good, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eyes are bad, your entire body will be filled with darkness. If instead of light you are filled with darkness, how deep that darkness will be. And I just feel that that's a kind of, not a heavy word on us this morning, because again, you know, the Holy Spirit always is positive. But I believe he is saying to us, where is your focus? You know, what is the focus of your life? Is your focus on Jesus and on what he's doing and on all those things that are good and lovely and of good report that Paul talks about in Philippians, focusing on those things? Or are you focusing on negative things, you know, grumbling, complaining? So often where our hearts are, it's very easy to tell where our hearts are, and this is where your word comes in, Sue, is what comes out of our mouths. And, you know, sometimes Les and I really have to fight this, because in London we are in a real warfare. In fact, friends of Joe's from Bethel who've just been here, said as soon as they arrived in London, they said, gosh, we can sense that you've got a battle on your hands in this place. Because, of course, they live under an open heaven in Redding, California. But we are in a battle. And the thing that Les and I really struggle with is being negative. You know, from the weather, grumbling about the weather. I do a lot of that. I'm sorry, Lord. Especially when August is meant to be summer. But, you know, what comes out of our mouths, grumbling, complaining, darkness, criticizing, judging other people, getting offended is darkness. Because you know what? Remember it says, when it says you are the light of the world, it says if a city set on a hill, that it shouldn't be covered in a bowl. And I think one of the bowls is offense. It's a trap of the enemy. The word in Greek is scandalismo. And when we're scandalized, when we're offended with God, I'm so sorry. Are they listening? When we're offended with somebody or with God, it's like we get trapped. It's like John Bevere's written an amazing book called The Bait of Satan. It's one of Satan's devices is to get us offended with either, especially the pastors. Everyone gets offended with a pastor. Or to get offended with people in the body of Christ. Or to get offended with God when he doesn't do what we long for him to do. When he doesn't answer our prayers the way we want, we get offended with God. And so that's called scandalismo, and it's a trap. It's like a bird trap or an animal trap. And when you're there, then the bowl is over you, and no one can see the light. But when we forgive and let go of the offense, the light shines. Isn't that good? So all of these negative things are actually bowls that cover over the light in our lives. And so it really depends on how much we focus on, or what we focus on, whether it's the negative, the news, you know, websites, porn, all that stuff. For men and for women, it's an incredibly terrible trap of the enemy, porn. Because what the eye sees remains in the memory, in the consciousness, even in your subconscious mind, and it affects the way you are. And so God is really saying, he's just saying, judgment is beginning in the household of God. Have you noticed how many things have been exposed to the light recently? You know, in ministries and all sorts of things. It's not that God's mean. It's just that he's a merciful God. But he is bringing judgment in the household of God. He is shaking his church. He's shaking us to get rid of the soulishness and self-centeredness. You know, like Paul. Paul, in some of his letters, a letter to the Corinthians says, you know, you Corinthians, you should be mature by now. But instead of that, one of you saying, I belong to Paul, and others, I belong to Apollos. You know, where are your hearts? And so God's saying today, he's saying, you know, who will you focus on this week? Who will you focus on? What will you focus on? Because when your eyes are full of light, your whole body will be full of light. And in, I think it's the Amplified Bible, it says of that passage, I hope I've got it here. It says something about your conscience. I can't find it, but it's your conscience. When your conscience is dulled, do you know that even some of the programs that we watch on the television, a few years ago, we would have been much more shocked at some of the things we watch now without a problem. Because our consciences get impaired by the darkness. So, I don't want this to be a heavy word. Are you okay? And everyone's awake? You better be, because the Lord's command to us was arise. And then this amazing passage. Now the Lord, all of us, For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made, that's the God he is. He spoke at the beginning of all time and declared, made light shine out of darkness. He made his light to shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Are you still in 2 Corinthians? So now we just need to carry on a bit, because that is verse 6. Will you read it, Phil? 4:6.
For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made us understand that this light is the brightness of the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. But this precious treasure, this light and power that now shines within us, is held in perishable containers, that is, in our weak bodies. So everyone can see that our glorious power is from God and is not our own. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Through suffering, these bodies of ours constantly share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that this life of Jesus will be obvious in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but it has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to... Is that enough?
Sorry. I don't know if that's very different to your version, but isn't it great? So, this is the other part of the equation of how God transforms us into these vessels of light, is that it's a process, and it's the processes of God in the lives of people. You know, and as you go through the Bible, you can see that Joseph, the struggles that Joseph had to go through in order for God to change his character, in order for God to make him a vessel that he could use and trust. And you know, it's no different for any of us. And it says there that we have this treasure, this precious treasure, which is the light of Christ on the inside of us, in earthen vessels. And am I conscious of that? You know, I'm 58 now, and every day I see more wrinkles coming. And there are more aches and pains now than I used to have, and I don't have quite as much energy as I used to have. And this old jolly vessel is you know, it's going to die. It's going to hop the twig, my father used to say. But, you know, the wonderful thing is that we've already died, and so all that has to happen is that we're going to be translated one day into his glory. And in the meantime, we live in these old vessels. And so we need to forgive one another when we hurt each other and do bad things, because we are only vessels. Yeah. The Lord says, you know, our lives are just like vapor, and like grass. Yeah, so, you know, that's what these vessels are. But we have within us this incredible treasure. And the way that God transforms our lives is this eternal process of, you know, all the things that Phil mentioned. Can I borrow your Bible? Thank you. Because it's better in this version. It's fantastic. It's so small. See, this is when I know my vessel's getting a bit weary. No, it's okay. This precious treasure, this light and power that is now within us, that shine within us, right, is held in perishable containers. We are pressed on every side by troubles. Who knows what we're talking about right now? Hands? Come on, guys, be honest. Who's being pressed by troubles? I know Mark is. but we're not crushed and broken. We're perplexed. Yeah? Phil's looking for a job. He's perplexed. But he doesn't give up and quit. So all of us have got struggles, you know, and it's not like there's a big, heavy, horrible God up there who's trying to squash us and see what color our blood is when it comes out. But it's just that he is working in us his glory. Isn't that fantastic? And so there it says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Yes, as long as we are plugged in, switched on, yeah, connected. And for our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. Hallelujah! That's to wake you up if you were going to sleep. It's very small. Yet they produce in us, for us, an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. These troubles. And I know your lives. I know lots of you. And I know that you have troubles. And life isn't easy. But these troubles are working within you. And as your body, as you know, he says something about working death in us and life in you. It's like as we die to all these things, God is working life in us and bringing about his glory. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we've not yet seen. Hallelujah. Yes, I agree, Faith. It's great news. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Isn't that great? So Tula, even though you're in pain today, they won't last forever. These old vessels will wear out. I mean, that isn't a faith word, is it? And we can expect to be healed along the way. And as Tandy had that word today, you know, that's why we have the light on the inside of us, that we go out into a dark world and take the light and heal the sick and expect for them to be healed. And we're expecting for Tula to get healed today. And Iris, beloved Iris, so brave. You're a woman of great courage. Let's pray right now for Iris. Shindarabasantu. Just reach out and pray for Iris right now. Shidarabasi didiyarata darabashi darabasuntu. Shikiakararabasi didiyarata darabiyarorabashendu. Shididiyarata darabasukurabashendu. Father, we just thank you so much for Iris. We thank you so much for her indomitable spirit that she just will not give up, God. We thank you for that. Arise out of where you're at so that you can go out into this dark world and shine with the light of Jesus, remaining connected to the source, remaining connected. And Iris has got the giggles. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And you know the wonderful thing is that if you're not in that place and if God's been saying anything to you, we've got this wonderful... A wonderful scripture. This is the message we heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So let's just close our eyes right now before we break bread. And Sue, you had a word this morning. Could you come and share it? Father, we just want to come before you, Jesus. And we just want to release to you, Lord God, every attitude that you've spoken to us about today, Holy Spirit. We just thank you for the power of your blood, that we don't have to feel condemned. We don't have to feel bad. We just have to bring our hearts before you now and allow you to cleanse us, God, to cleanse us from all darkness. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you're a God of the heart.
Yes, just earlier when we were worshipping, just had the scripture, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I just... the Lord just brought back a couple of words from Wednesday and a picture I had a long time ago about people's hearts. And it was just what Doc just said. That sometimes we can... Yes, we need to be in the presence of the Lord and as we worship, but he looks at our hearts. And I just saw people's hearts chained up. There's people here, but then the tears were for people out there as well. And since Wednesday, I just felt him saying that word on Wednesday, Tony said about preparing our hearts. And then there was the word about compassion. And the Lord's just been speaking so much about the suddenness and the presence time and his presence. And that's just what I just wanted to share. And I just felt he released that in me again on Wednesday. And since then, I've just kept looking around when I've been walking to or driving to work and looking out over London. I just see people that just need being released. But also the Lord showed me here this morning there were people who needed just to have their hearts released, and there's a word in one of the songs. So he's just saying, examine your hearts, because there's freedom in him, and he just wants to take the chains away that are just causing that darkness around some people's hearts. And so they're not hard anymore.
Holy Spirit, just deal with our hearts, God. That's what you are. You're a God of the heart. You see our hearts, and God, we thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is a breaking of chains, breaking of attitudes. And we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to do that work in our hearts right now. You know, and it doesn't need to take a long time to just bring your issues before the Lord and allow him to cleanse and touch and heal you.
Amen. I've had a picture that keeps recurring. Thursday morning, I had this picture as I was praying in the boiler room. And again, Thursday evening, when we were praying in the house of prayer, and I've had it again this morning. And it's of the streets of London. And the streets of London are full of fog and mist. It's very thick, like in the old films you see, where the fog was so thick that people couldn't see a few feet in front of them. And that's what the Lord was showing me, that there are people wandering around out there. They're lost in this fog, this mist. They are stumbling around trying to find the right way, and they're totally lost. They're trying different roads, different alleyways, different paths, and they're getting more and more lost, more and more confused in every way that they're going. And the Lord was just showing me that these people are becoming desperate. They are really wanting to know the truth. They are really wanting to know the right direction for their lives. And the Lord was saying that there is about to be a great explosion in London, people are going to be drawn in to the kingdom of God through his people. But the other thing that the Lord showed me this morning, and again on Thursday, was that there are people here in our midst this morning that they're okay when they're in here, but as soon as they go out the doors, they're lost in that mist and the fog again. And the Lord is just saying to me this morning that he is in control of everything. He is the Lord of all. And that we don't have to be stumbling around, lost in the mist and the fog. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be worried, because he is in control. He is the Lord of all the earth. He is the Lord in our lives, isn't he? He is the Lord. And the verse that came through to me this morning was, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So if you are going out of those doors week by week and you're stumbling around in the mist and the fog, then God is saying to you today, you don't have to do that anymore, because he is in control. He has a plan for your life. He has a future for you. He has something for you to do. And he will lead you and guide you step by step. He is faithful. We've been singing that and proclaiming that today. He is faithful, and he will lead you and guide you step by step. Every step that you take, if you let him, he will lead you. He is faithful. He will walk with you every step of the way, and he will never, ever leave you. If you put your trust in him and you turn your eyes upon him and follow him, he will never let you down. Men may let you down, but he will never let you down. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will never leave you to just stumble around. He will guide you step by step. So don't go out today and go back into the mist and the fog and stumble around. Trust in him, and he will lead you and guide you every step of the way. Lord, we're just so thankful for the fact that you are the light of the world, and you will light our paths and guide us step by step upon our road, upon our walk with you. Lord, make us so, so desiring to be obedient to your word and to your call upon our lives. Lord, help us just to really, really trust in you, to not to doubt you in any way. And Lord, I just pray for everyone here this morning that just as perhaps as they break bread this morning, they will just be able to just lean on you, let go of those things that have held them or gripped them, that they will be able to just walk out of here and be walking in the light, not in that dark mist and fog which is cold and uncomfortable, but in the glorious light Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name.